C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma non mi maradare. Figlio mio, cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne piscia olio, te va, te viene sempre a calare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia avanti, se è baccalata, figlia mia.
Oh mamma, la 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 la. Oh mamma, zuma zuma baccala. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And another great week, a lot happening. And we just had a big conference over here at the Trends Research Institute this past Friday, and we launched the top 10 trends of 2017, and what a great crowd of people here. Oh, terrific, terrific people. They're not like-minded people that come to these events. They're open-minded people, and open-minded they are. So we had a wonderful, wonderful conference here in Colonial Kingston, on the most historic four corners in the United States, the only place where there's a pre-Revolutionary War stone building on each corner. And then right across the street from that is the Kingston Courthouse. And this was the first capital of New York State. So the Constitution that was written for New York State was written at that location. And a large majority of U.S. Constitution was fashioned off of that Constitution. So the seeds of democracy were really sown up here. So we had a wonderful conference, and today I'm going to fill you in on some of those top trends for 2017. And of course, I'm only going to be able to briefly go over the outline of them. And if you wish to subscribe to the Trends Journal and get on top of the news and ahead of the trends in history before it happens, you could go to our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, because there is a lot of opportunity coming ahead. Now, those of you who have been listening to me over the last year, and particularly during the presidential reality show, know that I didn't have a fondness for either of the leading presidential candidates, Trump or Clinton. So I call things the way they are, not the way I like them to be. And there's a lot of positive elements to pick up and to consider from Trump's victory. Again, like him or not, good or bad, right or wrong, it's only what it is. And that brings me to my first trend. Make it new. The old is decaying. And it's not only the Trump victory, who he was, of course, the undisputed reality show champion to win the American presidential reality show. He defeated the old guard. There was nothing in his way. What we did at this conference, we showed clips, for example, from newspapers of how the Republican Party wasn't going to support him. And people like Eddie Munster. One after another, headline stories, they weren't going to support him. He created what he wanted to create. It may sound like a cliche, but in making it new, play the trump card. You could do what you want to do. There are no rules. You know, for many years, I used to teach close combat. The website, by the way, if you're interested in real close combat, real fighting, it's attackproof.com. And my teacher was John Perkins, not the John Perkins of the, you know, CIA guy. There's another John Perkins. And there are no rules in the fight. The last thing you want to do is fight. You try to avoid it at all costs. But if a fight breaks out, there are no rules. There are no forms. You know, this isn't, you know, one of those martial arts with forms. There are no rules. And Trump proved it. He made up his own game. He played it the way he wanted to. He made it new. So these populist movements, as they call them, because they're too stupid to come up with a broader term, nor do they want to really examine how disgusted the people are with their robbing them of their rights, their money, and their lives. The stupid media, the prostitutes, call it a populist movement. It's not a populist movement. It's a worldwide hunger to make it new. You just saw it happen in Italy this past Sunday when Renzi lost, in the sense that he said he would resign if the people did not pass his constitutional amendments. And they defeated it by 60-40. And 70% of the people came out to vote. So he's resigning today. Make it new. People are tired of the entrenched political nobility and the economic elite, the 1% who reap the Gilded Age bounties and rule with impunity and live above the law. Make it new. It's bigger than politics. It's in the education system. Go across the board, up and down. Make it new. Because when you look at the election, the people are tired of everything that is established that's not providing them with a joy of life and a fulfillment that they're looking for. So who else lost the election besides Hillary Clinton? Well, the traitor in chief, the lying, arrogant President Obama, who lied his way into office as a peace president. The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, who gets into office and then escalates the Afghan war, destroys Libya, turned it into a hellhole. Arrogant, 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 lowlife. I hate to use the word man, because he's not a man. He lost. Oh, he killed over 4,000 innocent people with his drones. Quote, I'm really good at killing people. Obama. No one, and I've been in the campaign business since I was a youth at a graduate school. I used to run them in Westchester. Mayoral campaign in Yonkers. District attorney. State senators. Anyway, he lost. I never saw a president campaign for a candidate like he did, and saying how this reflected a continuation of his legacy, a legacy of lies. Obama the liar. He lost. Hey, you know who else lost? That Zuckerberg. That's right. The Silicon con men. Make it new. They lost. Schmidt from Google. The top people doing the algorithms, putting it all together for Clinton at the highest technological level. They lost. Make it new. Hollywood. They lost. The Katzenbergs, the Spielbergs, the head of Hollywood. $100,000 a plate dinner they used to hold for Hillary. They lost. I'm sure all of everyone listening could afford to pay for $100,000 a plate dinner to hear a BS when you could hear a BS for free. They lost. Who else lost? The entertainment industry. Think of the people that came out. The Clooneys, the De Niros. They lost. Political correctness and the political parties are dead. They lost. Make it new. And there's never been a time in my lifetime for a new third party that really embraces what Progressive Radio Network and Gary Null, who leads it and champions it with products and services, analysis and information that you can't find on any other network. Progressive Party, a true progressive party. Make it new. There's nothing there. Trump, our forecast, is going to be able to do what he wants to do for 2 years. Free reign, nobody there to stop him. Make it new. He's already made it new. He made it new in the media. The media, that's another one. Dead and dying. They got it wrong. They lost. Make it new. Progressive Radio Network and beyond. Make it new. The music industry lost. From Springsteen to Bon Jovi to a lot of bad rappers with bad attitudes. Hey, Jay-Z and Beyonce, couldn't pull it off for Hillary, could you, huh? You lost. The people don't look up to you. You have your fans and huge fan bases, but a lot more people don't like you at all. They've had enough of your lousy, rotten attitude where you think you're better than everybody else. Make it new. That's the top trend for 2017. The billionaires lost. Silicon Valley lost. The media lost. Pop culture lost. Lost, lost, lost. Make it new. It's up to you. So, that's one of the top trends for 2017. Again, just briefly, and to get more information and to see where it's going, I suggest you consider subscribing to the Trends Journal. It's only 27 cents a day. And besides the Trends Journal, you get a Trends Monthly. Besides the Trends Monthly, you get a Trend Alert each week. Besides the Trend Alert and the Trends Monthly and the Trends Journal, Trends in the News. A 15-minute broadcast each weekday night. So, trendsresearch.com. And by the way, the reason Trump won and why we had forecast him as a winner, it's the economy, stupid. That's all it's about. People have lousy jobs if they have one at all. A gig economy, isn't that wonderful? Need more than one job to make a living. So, what do we have? I'm mentioning this because there's a discount request page at the Trends Journal site. We try to make it available to everyone. So if you can't afford 27 cents a day, and we know a lot of people can't, We'll do the best we can to provide you with the information to help you prepare for the profits ahead and avoid the dangers. So, another trend. Economic disorder. The Trump rally is real. Never seen one like this before. This is a month-long stretch. Dow indexes have hit new highs. Dollar hitting a 14-year high. You know, those of you who have listened to Trends This Week and are subscribers to the Trends Journal, that I was very bullish on gold. I began this segment of Trends This Week by saying that, as you well know, I've been no fan of Trump. But I call it for what it is. And he's doing a lot of things that are positive for the equity markets and negative for gold. Next week, the Federal Reserve is meeting. The odds are up to over 95% or thereabouts that they're going to raise interest rates. And that's not good for gold. The higher the interest rates go, the stronger the dollar, weaker gold goes. So we're looking at gold in a downdraft right now, and it's way down from where it was from its high this year. So what does that mean? It means we still believe it as a safe haven asset because of an economic world disorder. So it's good for the United States, isn't necessarily good for the rest of the world. Because you have all these emerging markets with tens of trillions of dollars in debt denominated in dollars. And they have to pay back that money in dollars. As their currencies get weaker, they need more currency to pay back that money. Because their currencies have been devalued. What does that mean? It means economic destabilization. Go back to what happened in Italy this past weekend. New movements are developing. We're going to see the end of the euro in the next few years, is our forecast. There's going to be destabilization, so we look at gold as a safe haven asset. We don't see it moving up now. On the contrary. It has probably, we're looking at $100 downside risk. Having said that, and been buying gold since 1978, that's not a big downside. I remember when it went from $875 an ounce down to $200 or something. The upside gain is much greater. So we don't give financial advice. We're trend forecasters. So what Trump is doing is going to benefit corporations. It's going to boost the stock market because they're going to profit more. And what he did with Carrier air conditioning and what he's doing on the trade front is very positive for the country. Oh, you could break down, you know, he did a deal and they had to pay him, you know, Carrier tax breaks. Yeah, all the cities around the country do that. But it's more important than that. He's reversed the outbound trend of sending jobs overseas. He reversed the trend. That's what's important. That's what's important, is the trend is being reversed. So it has a financial and a psychological benefit to the nation. And when we examine and analyze the people that he's bringing on, I mean, these aren't my kind of cats, man. These are real Wall Street white shoe boys. However, they're very skilled at what they do. And if they're going to put their energies into renegotiating lousy trade deals, which they are, and they're very smart people to do that, amen. So, those are some of the trends on the economic front, only touching it. Again, you can find out more by going to trendsresearch.com and subscribing to the Trends Journal. So, as we look at the economic disorder, it's very, again, important to understand the implications. The stronger the dollar, the weaker the currencies, and you're seeing from around the world, Mexico, Russia, Brazil, Turkey, Indonesia, China, currencies are hitting new lows, and they're trying to do everything they can to stop the currency outflows. What was Trump's campaign slogan? Make America great again. Again. So it brings me to our third forecast. We're going to do the best we can to get through them today. I just don't want to skim over them. I want to bring substance to them so you can profit from the future. And that trend is true nostalgia. Make America great again. Nostalgia. When was the again in true nostalgia? Wherever you want to bring it. But it's deeper than the millennials looking at those Edison light bulbs. Edison light bulbs, you know, a bulb hanging from a cord. And it's grander than the presidential reality show champion Donald Trump promising to make America great again. Go back to what happened 2 weeks ago in France with the presidential primary victor, François Fillon. You know what his promises are? To restore, quote, respect, pride, and French values. True nostalgia. Again, this isn't a discussion, right or wrong, good or bad. Question of what is and what people are looking for. As for French values, that's where the media, who wants us to be all whitewashed, would look down upon that statement and calling it nationalism and populism. How dare you remain French? How dare you embrace your values? Globalize so you could become multinationalized. They hate this stuff. Why do they hate it? Because they're low-life prostitutes who put out and get paid to do it. But going back, true nostalgia. So whatever business you're in will want to become, will create, look at true nostalgia, respect, pride, and values, quality, at a time that used to be that is no longer now. And again, when we look at the style and nostalgia, we know that it often provides a distorted view of history. The good old days weren't that great, particularly if you had to sit on the back of the bus or a Native American. Genocide was committed against you. And every treaty that you ever made with the government was broken. So we know that nostalgia, you know, isn't what it's made out to be. But there are the other elements of it that are worth exploring and pushing forward. So as we look at all of these trends and put them together and think of true nostalgia, making it new. Understanding what Trump is doing with the economic disorder, and it's making America stronger economically. And I believe it's going to be positive. You want to become, well, one of our other trends is an on-trendpreneur. How about stamping out product made with pride in America? It's bigger than buying local. It's bigger than your community. It's a self-sustaining economy. I'd be pumping out those made with pride in America, and then how would I market it? In trends research, and in our trends journal, and in my books, Trend Tracking, Trends 2000, our model is globalnomic. All things are connected. All things are connected, like the blood which unites us all, said Chief Seattle. So, you have a new product, you're going to stamp it pride in America. How are you going to market it? Play the Trump card. Remember what Trump did? He broke all the rules. He broke all the rules. Crooked Hillary. This never happened in a campaign before. Calling out one after another. Call out your competitors. You want to make sneakers or shoes? Call out Phil Knight. Hey, Phil Knight from Nike. You're a sellout to America. Getting your products made overseas with slave labor and then charging these ridiculous prices for what you're making? Play the Trump card. I'm not saying to do that. You're going to open up a coffee shop? Starbucks? Go after the top. Goes back to close combat. And Trump has that New York savvy way about him. What did he do at the first debate? He took out Jeb Bush, put his hand on his shoulder. You know, you're a nice guy, but you have no cojones. Because in close combat, you don't let anybody touch you like that. You can nicely take the hand off. But going back to close combat, going back to playing the Trump card, he took out the top. And that's what you do. So in close combat, if you're confronted with a situation and your life depends on it, and there's more than one that's against you, you take out the leader of the pack. After the leader of the pack goes, the rest of them run. Play the Trump card. Think of true nostalgia. Understand the economic dynamics. And make it new. Retrofit the old. Bring it back and retrofit it. Make it grand. This is the time for it. We've never seen anything like it. The future is in your hands. There's never been an opportunity, as I said, for on-trendpreneurs. And that's one of our big trends. On-trendpreneurs. What's an on-trendpreneur? Well, you want to get into business and you want to create your own future. You don't want to work in slave land either. You want to create your own. So, you may want to love to do something and create something, but there might not be a future in it. So by becoming an on-trendpreneur, what you're looking at is the opportunity to develop a business or profession where there's going to be growth opportunities. Growth opportunities. Growth opportunities. And you get that by knowing what's on trend. So, step one is to become well-versed in trends. And you don't get any finer information, and we challenge anyone to show us any other trend forecasters with such a wide reach and a track record that we have at the Trends Research Institute, the Trends Journal, and all the publications and information we provide. So to become an on-trendpreneur, and again, do it on your own, because our motto is think for yourself, but make sure you're doing it properly. It's kind of like exercising and eating properly. Make sure you have the skills and knowledge and how to do it the right way. Find out where the future is heading. Just don't get into anything. And what you also get into are what the bigs are leaving behind. More and more consolidation of business, the more and more market sectors they let go of because they can't make profit in them. So with the big drops, you pick up. Because while they have to sell to a billion, you only have to sell to a million. So on-trendpreneur is to us the way the future is heading, particularly, again, tying it all together in this Trump environment. And again, all of the you listening to Trends this week know that, you know, Salenti's saying nice things about Trump. I call it what it is. I despise many of his policies, but I'm looking at it for what it is, not the way I want it to be. And that's what life is. It also shows, again, how we say all the time that it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And that one person of courage creates a majority. You just saw with Trump. He did it on his own. He had the money behind him, but he did it on his own. And he broke all the rules. Again, close combat. There are no rules. So, what other trends do we have coming up here? One of my favorite. VR-ED, all capitals. VR-ED. Virtual reality-education. That's where the future is going. Even with Trump's selection, his education secretary there, DeVos, who can't stand the public school system. And again, I'm against the chartered school system as well. I don't want my money going to private organizations. So, what does this mean? Virtual reality is real reality in a lot of ways. It's changing the way we're going to learn. Take a student like myself when I was a little boy. I ran away from kindergarten. Boston Post Road in the Bronx at 4.5 years old. I hated it. They took me out. They had me shot up with drugs now if I was this happened at this age. Got left back in the fifth grade, barely got out of high school. Only went to college to beat the draft in Vietnam. And I barely found a college I could get into. But the good thing about college was that's where I learned how to learn. So now let's go back to virtual reality education and a whole new world that we're in of artificial intelligence and different kinds of testing abilities. So you find out, what does little Gerald like and what is he really good at? And what's hiding beneath the surface within him that we could educate him so that he could excel in what he's best at becoming? What would that be? So now we have those diagnostic tools, and they keep growing more and more to find that out. So what does that mean? You put him in a virtual reality class as well. So now he has his goggles on, and of course the goggles and the virtual reality now, they're a little bit above the level in comparison where Pong was, they started playing video games. And I remember when they came out, back in the 70s. They're going to advance far beyond where we are now. So little Gerald will be sitting in his classroom with other students in a virtual classroom and being taught by teachers of exceptional skills rather than an education system. You go to college, you pass the grade, pass the test. I'm a teacher, blah, blah, you're not a teacher. Repeating a lot of garbage from textbooks. Now you're having the best of the best. So from kindergarten through high school, from college to PhDs, it's a virtual world. Doctors learning how to operate virtually and almost real. Virtual education to us is going to be the global game changer. And think about it. Little kids growing up, technology is second nature to them. It's easy to do. That's what they love. So give them what they want. Put them in their virtual world. The education system we have now was built for the industrial age. German system. Read, write, do some arithmetic, and best of all, follow orders as they put you in centralized locations. The industrial age is dead and dying. The virtual world is upon us. Virtual education. So now let's make the connections. And one of the firms we work with, we partner with, called Agora, A-G-O-R-A, financial. We provide the trends, and what they do, if people are subscribed to their services, they say, oh, this is what the Trends Journal and Trends Research Institute sees coming. These are the companies and these are the opportunities to invest in, if that's your nature. So you keep making the connections. And again, the biggest connection to us right now, to the future, is without a doubt, virtual education. I mentioned before, we were talking about all the losers of the presidential reality show campaign 2016. And I mentioned the media. The media lost big time. That's why they're coming out with this stuff called fake news. Rather than admit their insignificance and how wrong and arrogant they are, now they're saying there's fake news out there and go back to them. Yeah, like that fake news that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Or that fake news of the Gulf of Tonkin. It's brought us the Vietnam War that never happened. Fake news in Bosnia, how they lied about that so they could destroy Yugoslavia. Fake news. They never stop with their fake news. They're coming out with a fake news story to cover up their ineffectiveness and how they're becoming less and less of a needed source of information. Newspapers are shrinking dramatically. So one of our top trends are Fourth Estate. Rest in peace. It's dead. The Fourth Estate was the media, the press, to watch over the government, judiciary, executive, and congressional branches. So the media was the Fourth Estate. Those were the three. That's gone. As we saw with the WikiLeaks, how the media was in bed with the Clinton campaign at different levels. There is no Fourth Estate. It's dead. Now, the newspapers are dying within a couple of years, 3 years, there's going to be more advertising on social media than in newspapers. How do you fill the gap? How do you fill the gap? The gap will be filled. People goes back to tying all the trends together. Make it new. Make it new. So the fourth estate is on its deathbed on the media end. When will it end on the broadcast end? Poll after poll show trust rates well below 10% in the mainstream media. And by the way, the more people they lay off, the less fact-checking. So you want to talk about fake news? Yep, just pick it up. And what they're not reporting on. The disaster in Yemen brought to you by Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, supplying more armaments to Saudi Arabia than any of the presidents so they could slaughter people. Rest in peace, fourth estate. You can make the new one if you choose to. I mentioned before that among the losers of this election was Silicon Valley con men. The Zuckerbergs, the Schmidts, all those people that donated millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, to defeat Trump, and providing the Clinton campaign with the best technological algorithm information available. So they thought. Silicon Valley, Rust Belt 2.0. That's right. Just like we see the Rust Belts that happen all across the country when the times changed and the resources from those areas or the locations that made those cities strong and powerful weren't needed anymore. Get ready for it to begin to happen. It's already happening. In Silicon Valley's con men, you don't need them anymore. Unlike those Rust Belt areas in Pennsylvania and Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, and throughout the country, where they had waterways and resources that made them prosperous and brought people there, because society needed what they had. The mind doesn't need a location. The mind could travel the world, and it is. And it's not located in Silicon Valley. That's right. It's a new world order. It could come from Croatia. It's coming from South Korea. Big in China, travel the world. More and more development coming from different places around the planet are going to make Silicon Valley less and less important. Fact number two. I mentioned how the stock market's booming. Tech stocks didn't take off like the rest. Another reason why is that under Trump, with his anti-immigration stance, he's going to start pulling away those H-1B visas that allows the con men of Silicon Valley to bring in cheap labor to undercut American labor so the billionaires could get more billions. That's why their stock isn't going up. This is a huge trend. Start tying into it, seeing where the new places are going. And if you're in that tech mind, tech state of mind, start really tying into it. It's going to be a huge shift. Rust Belt 2.0. You're seeing it already happening. The developments are in front of us. I mean, you think about breeding robots. And who's the biggest firm in that? That's a German place, just bought out by the Chinese. The Chinese are going to buy everything they can to be the leading edge of technology. Rust Belt 2.0. You could be anywhere in the world, and you're going to start seeing it more and more and more. It's going to explode, making Silicon Valley less and less important. So, that's a trend you never heard anywhere else, I don't think. Maybe you have. So those are just some of the trends. And they keep getting more and more tied together in a way that's going to shape the future in very many, many positive ways like we haven't seen in a very, very long time. Even on the war front, you know, Trump is talking about not toppling governments, where the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, murderer Obama, Assad has to go. Gaddafi has to go. All you liberals, you forgot that, didn't you? Huh? Hey, Obama, he has to go. Go take him out. Maybe you could take Assad out between your golf game, shooting pool, or playing basketball, or BSing. A man, what kind of man are you? You call him out, take him out. You're not a man. You're a coward. And everybody that supports this are cowards. You want to take him out? Take him out. Be a man about it. Lead the charge. Hey, Trump is saying he doesn't want to topple regimes. That's positive. You little liberals. Kerry, murderer. Clinton, murderer. One great thing about this man, I hope I never have to see another Clinton for the rest of my life. And I hope I have a real long one and a healthy one, and a joyous one. Anyway, on to some other trends. No more cash. Cashless society coming up quick in a country near you. Already in Sweden, poof, cash is disappearing. Just saw what they did in India about pulling in all those rupees. Yep, setting them up for a cashless society. Hong Kong, South Korea, cashless, cashless, more and more. So what does that mean? It means go back to virtual education, how younger people have been brought up in a world where it's digital, nothing more, nothing less. That's all it is. Digital cash, from blockchain to Bitcoin, to coin after coin. It's going cashless. So the government will be able to know every penny that you have, every penny that you spent, and know where it came from. More control. That's right. More control over your life. It's happening. It's in front of us, it's real, and it's going to continue to grow. So what does that mean again? Putting it back into perspective. With trend forecasts, do we like it? No. But if you're an investor, and going back, if you're a tech person, really start tying into this. And again, this is how we work with Agora Financial. We provide them with the foundation of the trend, and they say, well, you've already seen efforts like this, no more cash in India, Britain, France, Austria, Belgium, and other countries that are fueling the cashless movement. In Sweden, where barely 2% of all payments are in cash, What are the companies technologically and financially that are going to profit from this? Because it's not going away. Love it or hate it, you're only going to see more of it. Already about $20 billion in value worldwide is traded inside these blockchains. Everything is going to be done cashless, automated, and again, complete control over your life. Wrapping up here, as we're wrapping up in time, sell and buy China. That's right. From Hollywood to Silicon Valley, around the world, China's buying it up. Think about it. 1.35 billion people. 1.35 billion. How many Americans we have? About 320 million. So we're not even as big as that 0.35. They do not have the diversity that we have. And that's why they're looking to buy Hollywood. They're even allowing more outside films to be shown there. Buy and sell China. If you're in real estate market, wherever you live, get to know who the big dealers are there. Start doing business with them. It's going to explode. Again, it's the global age. With the trade deals with change, what's going on there, only to a limited extent. And then just briefly, because we don't have more time to go into that, and you can get more information, of course, on the top trends of 2017 that are going to shape this new world order by going to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, and subscribing to the Trends Journal and get your trend alerts, Trends Monthly, Trends in the News broadcast every weekday night. Put you on top of the trends and way ahead of the news. So our last trend that we could go through today is RIFA money madness. Big business. Big business with 28 states now having legalized it in some form or another, whether it's medical or recreational. But there are a lot of different laws in a lot of different states. And we're looking at it beyond medical, beyond recreational, cultivation, production, and going to many different products. It's just the beginning. There are negatives going on that may hamper it a bit with the selection of this guy Sessions, who doesn't like that marijuana, but hey, I bet he supports those big pharma companies. And he's going to be the Attorney General, as it seems. So there may be a crackdown on that because it's still illegal federally. So, for example, if you're taking medical marijuana, you can't get a gun permit. So those are some of the trends to look at, to observe. And again, it's not only the medical marijuana here or marijuana legalization here. It's going around the world, right up north of us in Canada. So get on top of the trends. See where they're going. Prepare for the future. It's in your hands. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail. Rather, an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. So thank you for tuning in to Trends This Week. We'll see you next week.
Sitte dunia biscia olo ite vene sempre paccalare dal manerene. Se ci picchia pandesia paccalare picchia mia. Oh mamma.